is we all should have brought bread, right? We all should have like gone and like made like, you know, real, like, I don't know, whole week, like bread, and like everyone brought their own loaf.
Scott, this is
made, like, amazing,
though.
Like rye bread, like just whole grain white rye bread. I didn't actually like thresh it myself, but it felt very like si dura de passi. It was like nice, like classic shaped loaves. So that's really what we should, next time we're going to have to do that for end of si dura de passi. Just like have like a group baking session.
Grinding flour is possible. Like grinding grain into flour. Like
we should just do it. I don't know. We should like all, you know,
much
all
go bread, out.
We'll cut it. The problem is we'd also probably, if we did it here, at least we'd have to also do like a shear on Tremolo Maestros. And then just like, it'd take a very long time. It has to be a few years before we actually got to the making the bread stage. That could be a problem. Okay, so let's finish Si Dura de Passi. And I feel bad that we're actually not going to get to like the rest of, you know, rest of Melachos. But truths in general, when people learn Melachos, we only do Si Dura de Passi, and then like a few random ones thrown in. Okay, so just to like recap a little bit of last year, we were talking about Bishul, the capstone, right? the end goal of Si Dura de Passi, and we saw that there are like a few core options of how to understand what you're trying to accomplish with Bishul. Okay, one, which was the most expansive, particularly it shows up in the Taz. He says it's improving food through heat. So anytime you're improving the food, anytime food gets better by the application of heat, particularly through fire, as long as it's introducing some sort of new tam, new flavor, right? The Taz says that's special, okay? So if you have something that's mevushal and you then are going to bake it, or you have something that's roasted and now you're going to cook it, in water, so since you're changing the flavor, let's say you have bread and now you're toasting it. So that's another question, right? Maybe that counts as bishul. Again, because it's now, it's going to have a different flavor. So according to the Taz, that's going to be bishul, right? Even though it's already mevushal, because as long as you're imparting some sort of new taste and new flavor and you're improving the flavor through heat, that's bishul, okay? That was one option. The Rambam's approach was this idea of making food more edible, okay? So let's say you had something that's only mevushal macho ben drusai, making it mevushal kol tzarcho is bishul, because you're making it more edible, right? It was barely edible, now it's fully edible. However, going from fully cooked to extra tasty, or taking an apple and cooking it, you'd be putter because you haven't changed its edibility. You've changed its flavor, right? And the apple actually was not cooked at all, and now it's cooked, but you haven't made it more edible, okay? So for the Taz, it's about altering the taste. For the Rambam, it's very much about making it edible, okay? And then over here, there are two sort of more binary options, which is either creating food, which is making something into food, much more in the sense of, you know, how we've been seeing a lot of Melachos, so that like, oh, you had this, you know, this plant, and now it's food. You had, you know, X, and now you've turned it into something that you as a human can use. And that definitely fits nicely with the Si Dura de Passi. So it's creating food. Or is it bishul as a chemical process? Now, both of those are kind of binary. Both of those sound very similar. Right? What's the difference between those two? Bishul, let's say, as a binary chemical process, or creating food. So let's say it's macho ben drusai already. Let's say you cooked it to macho ben drusai. Is there going to be more bishul?
There shouldn't be, because it should be like done at that point.
Exactly, right? According to both of them, it should be done, right? So in terms of that way of looking at things, from the macho ben drusai nafgamina, there's no difference, right? What about it? Something that's already edible, like an apple?
Wait, but can't there be further chemical reactions after as macho ben drusai?
Yes. So right, so actually in here, it's really more as a binary chemical process. Yes, if there could be more, you're right. You definitely could say, oh, it's like, it's about the chemical process, but you know, you could always do it more. The problem is that it sounds like in the dinim that there is something called, you did bishul to it, right? If macho ben drusai is sort of our shear for a chemical process, then our assumption would be that once you have gotten to that point in the chemical process, you've already, you know,
like once it reaches Mechelmann-Reischauer, it reaches the like identity of like being food. And then at that point,
definitely according, definitely creating food, I would 100% Mechelmann-Reischauer is like, oh, well now it's food already. But I would say that it, also if you view it, let's say you have bread, right? You cook it and it turns from dough. And then, you know, all these like protein bonds, you know, form with the gluten. And then suddenly you have bread, right? So at some point it goes from being dough and right, just a mixture of all these different things into right one unit, which has been chemically bonded of bread. Now your bread could be not totally cooked, but at the end of the day, right, it's undergone this process.
So is there enough gamina between the two svaras?
Pardon?
Will there be enough gamina between those two svaras, like the food versus chemical reaction?
Yes. So according to the, so in terms of Mechelmann-Reischauer, unlikely, right? Because it would seem like it would be like ein bishul achar bishul, just like we'd say in, you know, ein tochein achar tochein, right? Once you did the act of the malacha, it shouldn't be repeatable. But let's say you're dealing with an apple, right? An apple is food, right? Most of us think apples are food. So if you have an apple, you're not creating food, but it's never undergone the chemical process of bishul. So if you cook an apple, according to this, according to the creating food, you'd be potter, right? According to bishul as a chemical process, you'd absolutely be chayav, right?
You've created a new food though, no?
Apple
is qualitatively different than a raw apple.
Right. But you haven't created food. You might have made the food, let's say, more tasty or more edible.
Not necessarily. It's not necessarily more edible. It's not necessarily improved. It's just different.
Okay, I hear that. But I don't think you've created food. You've taken one food and transformed it into another. Now you're right. Ari has a very good point, which is at some point, right, we can say that enough of a significant shift can count as a malacha, even if, right, its previous state was something that, you know, already had that malacha, that identity. Right. We saw that, you know, in that was a good example where we really saw that. I remember we had a good example that came up a few weeks ago. Maybe it's Borer? Maybe it's Borer. I think it's Borer. Well, are you about to say something? You had an idea.
Like egg whites, for example. We would say that you've cooked egg whites if you put them in a pan and heat them up. But you can also have egg whites raw and add them to like meringues or cocktails or whatever and not do any cooking to them.
Right. Although, again, I think the egg whites is a little bit more tricky because egg whites aren't something you can eat alone. You can add them as an ingredient into something else. But they're not like a food already in itself. But you're right. You're good, making a good point that at some, you know, there is this like things that could be eaten, right? But let's say you're talking about egg whites. Let's say, you know, people eat raw egg whites. It could be eaten raw, but it's not really food yet. Yeah. So those I think would definitely be like a difficult one to define. But also you're right is that if it's about creating food, at some point you can make the argument that transforming it from food A into food B, not just A+, is so much of a new creation. We apply the halachic principle of panim chadashos ba'olakan, right? So something new is here, and it's like you created a brand new cooked apple out of, you know, raw material instead of the original apple.
I have a good example, I think, like an apple crisp, right? Because all you're doing is you're cutting up apples and putting granola and margarine on top, and you're baking it. And all of those are things that you would eat independently raw, but then you put it together and you cook it and it's a completely different item that you would just probably wouldn't eat raw.
Right. Again, exactly. So you could say, oh, well, once you put it together as an apple crisp, like it's a whole new food that didn't exist before because you had an apple before, right? Maybe a cooked apple is like just an apple that's now cooked, but you didn't create new food, but here you create an apple crisp. Again, a mode that you could definitely move in that direction. I was just thinking about Borer. Right, we say like, oh, you do borer, let's say by when you winnow, or you do borer when you did the, right. Let's say you picked out all the peanuts from their shells, right? But now your peanuts are mixed together with walnuts. right? So we hold that there's, you have two foods mixed together, you could have borer, right? But they're both food. They both underwent borer already, right? They were both made into food at some point, right? Because here it's, you know, now it's mixed nuts and you just want the walnuts because, right, mixed nuts just isn't good enough to you, right? Or you don't like the blue M&Ms. So then maybe that's a big enough of a transformation that like counts as creating food. I'm all dead. You can definitely make that argument. I would just say in terms of like the basic sort of the baseline assumption, we would say that creating food is creating food from something that is not food, as opposed to creating food even out of food, as opposed to, let's say, making food more edible or improving food, which are both about the process as opposed to, right, a totally transformative result. Okay, so here, those are our four really approaches to Bishul, right? Ones which are more more iterative, right? There are different like steps along the way, making it more edible, improving it, as or you're creating food or you're doing the chemical process of Bishul. Now, the big heter, the big sort of weird situation in Bishul, right? We talked about last week was Bishul Bachama. You're allowed to cook in the sun. You're allowed to just use solar power and blast food into being cooked. So it has to be cooked through through heat of fire. And we discussed that extensively. And now today we're going to talk about Bishul in a klisheni. Okay? The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Pamachas nechnasti achar Rebbe lebeis hamerchatz, ikashti lo niach lo pach shel shemen bambati. I want to, you know, heat up some oil for him. In the bathhouse, Vamarli told the klisheni v'teng. So they put in a klisheni. Shema mina tla, shema mina shemen yish bo mishum bishul. Right, that cooking oil is a problem. You might have thought, right? Let's say shemen is already, it's already edible. It's already, right, totally, you know, fine. So is cooking it a problem at all? So clearly, right, Rebbe thought it was a problem. Shema mina klisheni in a mavashel. You see that klisheni is a mavashel. Shema mina hefshero zehu bishulam. You see that just cooling it down, even though you're not like bubbling, you know, going to get it to boil or whatever, it's going to be counts as bishul as well. The klisheni sheitzdanin ome'at, the klisheni in mevasha. Rashi points out when you put it into a klisheni, it cools down a little bit. Right now, Rashi says, "Oh, klisheni is not mevasha because it's cooled down a little bit." That's not very so helpful, right? What does he mean? Right, I think we all would agree, right? If you put hot water into a cold into a different cup, when you pour it, it cool into a second cup, it cools down a little bit, right? That is true. But who says that that matters, right? Why should that matter? It's very, very strange. And Rashi says, oh, because it will cool down a little, and because klisheni inu mevasha, sort of just like it's, that it's true. Is he saying like a halachic fact, or is he saying like a scientific fact? Right? Which of these are, what does he mean? Right? He's right that it definitely cools down a little bit, but, and therefore what? So the first option is to say, yeah, like it's just not, it doesn't cook. Right? Now, all of us have kind of a little bit of an eyebrow moment because we've all kind of cooked stuff in klishenis, right? Especially nowadays, you have those like massive urns in like the lunchroom and you pour out a little bit of hot water to like make your instant soup or whatever. Right. By definition, we always do it in like the klisheni because, right, you don't, I don't know when the last time I've like boiled water on the stovetop is. I have like a kumkum. I like, you know, I press the on button, it boils. And then even when I'm cooking things on the oven, I like pour from the kumkum because the electricity just heats it up so much faster. Okay. So the mitzias side is going to be a little bit difficult, but let's look into that first. So the Rajba says, adayim kashali, lefi girsas asfarim, vi girsas shalgonim, even if it's just a little bit of cold water, to put into the hot water. So let's say I have a big cup filled with hot water, right? And I put a tiny bit of cold water in it. What's the difference? It doesn't get cooked, it gets hefsher. It gets cooled off, right? It gets warmed up. It gets warmed, right? It gets, or cooled down, it cools down, basically, or warms up, but it doesn't get cooked, right? The mayim shebesafal ino encham in kol kach, ve'ino ela kikos, v'hoel klisheni hu le'ola mutter she'ino ba ela lidei hefsher, and klisheni only warms things up. It doesn't actually cook them. Afilu hayu hamayim shayat so lettuce ben, even if they're boiling hot, even if they were so hot that you would, right, you couldn't touch them with your hand. Even after you put in the cold water. So let's say you want to put some cold water into your klisheni of boiling hot water. And afterwards, even after you put in the cold water, it's boiling hot, right? It's yatso lettuce bow. Nonetheless, right? So the water that you added in now became yatso lettuce bow. Ino mecham min hatsonin sheyesh bo lios yatso lettuce. Ela machmas harishonim shalo nitzdananu. So he says it's not that the tsonin, that the cold water got hot to yatso ledas, but the first elah machmas harishonim shalon itstanin. It's just that the original water didn't cool down so much. Now, I'm not totally sure what that means. You mixed hot and cold water. The hot water was boiling hot. You added in like a few drops of cold water. Now when you touch it, right, it's still all boiling hot. The water you put in, says the Rashba, didn't get cooked, even though we hold that making something out to lettuce bow is generally the shear of cooking by liquids. But you're saying, wait a second, it all is out to lettuce bow. If I stick my finger in it, it's boiling hot. So he says, oh, that's not because the cold water became out to lettuce bow, boiling hot. It's that the hot water is still hot. Right? Now, what's the problem with that? I raised his hand.
I was going to say something different that maybe the reason this strikes us as odd is because of the food, like instant soups that we have. But if you put rice or oats or something, even in a klisheni, it's not going to be cooking it. It's not going to be able to cook it. And maybe we're just desensitized because we have instant soups. And like cooking in a klisheni really isn't that easy based on the kinds of food that they were used to having and that we have, different than we have now.
Okay, very good. Right? In a, like Lamaisa, are you saying, if you were to take raw rice and shove it in a klisheni, even if it was boiling hot, you boiled it up and you put in your rice right off the boil, it still wouldn't cook, right? You still have to have the fire going underneath in order for it to cook. And just bimitsias, that's right. If you want to cook things, normal things, right? Let's say, how long do you have to put chicken in the oven for? Right? Let's say 40 minutes, half an hour. If you're dealing with like chicken cutlets, if you put it into boiling water, right, it's not going to cook it. The Department of Agriculture's website would not give you like a check on having killed all the harmful bacteria, right? It's not going to cut it. Again, right, raw rice takes forever to cook. Especially if you're using like brown rice, then you put it in the pot and you just have to like have it boiling for like 40 minutes or like an hour. It's just crazy how long it takes to cook, right? So in a chenami, the water is very hot, but ultimately it's not really going to cook. You're going to say, but look, something happened, right? The answer is, yeah, but that something is not called cooking, right? But not from like a deep legal perspective. Bimitzias, like the act of cooking is to take food, right? And you cook it until it becomes food, becomes ready to eat, right? The whole process, though, is something that involves, right, you really cook it. If you put rice into boiling hot water, you're right that it might come yatso lettuce bow. It might even hit machel ben drusai, let's say, right? I don't know, let's say it's very small pieces of rice. But ultimately, what you've really just done is you've warmed it up, because the process of cooking is just a much longer, much more involved process, right? And I think that the continuation of the Rashba really helps us with that, is because what's he saying? Obviously, the cold water does get hot, right? We can all agree that scientifically, the cold water actually does get hot. But what's he arguing? He's basically arguing that it's not that you've, oh, that the hot water heats up the cold water. And so when you add in the cold water, right, it cools down the hot water a little bit. So you're right that the hot water is still hot. But the process is not a process where the cold water has been cooked, but just that the hot water, right, has given away some of its heat to the cold water. Now, part of that is also, what's the water? The water is already food, right? So cooking is where you take heat, right? You introduce heat into a food, right? Once you have water and food, and you're putting the food into the water, is the water, or the water's not a heat source. What is the water? The water's also food, right? So when you put something into a klisheni, what you're really doing is you're mixing two foods, and the hot water is going to warm up, right, the other food. It's going to give some of its heat to the other food. But ultimately, you're moving the heat from one food to another, but you're not introducing heat into the system. And I think according to the Rajba, if there's no if you're not like really introducing heat into the system, maybe there's no bishul, right? It's not so much a question of the totsah, right? But the maisa, and there's no maisa bishul here because you never introduced any heat into this object. You warmed it up, right? Using another food even. Okay, now the Ritva also says this very explicitly. The Ritva switches it a little bit, right? For the Rajba, it sounded a little bit more formalistic, right? For the Ritva, it sounds exactly like Arya is saying that, well, if you put rice into a klisheni, it's just not going to get cooked. In bo koach elo lahafshir, it just warms up the rice. It doesn't actually cook it. V'im tomar v'yitnenu b'ambat di'atzmo k'dei lahafshir mihas. Okay, so why not put it into like this, let's say you had a bathtub full of boiling water, right? If you had a bathtub full of boiling water and you put rice in it, maybe it would cook. And if you thought that warming something up would count as bishul, then even in a klisheni it would be asr, right? So basically, according to the Ritva, there's the process of cooking. Cooking is asr, right? Midaraisa. Hefsher, warming something up, even if it gets very hot, is not Asr Midaraisa. Right? And therefore, using a klisheni which only does hefsher, which only warms things up, is going to be okay. Right? And that's even though, right, it might get to Yatzol Edespo. Because Yatzol Edespo is a way of saying, oh, it's hot. Has it reached actually being hot, cooking heat? But at the end of the day, it's a klisheni. It only has the power to do hefsher. Okay? So this is the difference between the Rajba and the Ritva. There's, I think, an important difference. For the Rajba, it sounds much more like the Maisa that you're doing because, the klisheni is involved in the process of hefsher, of warming something up using the heat from the water as opposed to introducing new heat into the system. While for the Ritva, Ritva emphasizes this lashon of in bo koach ela lahafshir. It's not strong enough, which sounds a little bit more like what Arya was saying. It's like, even if you just put rice into a pot of boiling water, it's still not going to cook unless you turn the fire on. Okay. Tosfos takes a different track. Tosfos says no. Right? It's not that there's no practical bishul. Bishul doesn't happen. Rather, kli rishon mitoksha amara haor dofnosav chamin umachzik chomo zman meruba. Right? If you put something on in a kli rishon, the kli rishon was on the fire. So not only is the water hot, but the actual kli is hot. So it'll retain its heat for a long time. And therefore, they give a shear that whenever it's still yatzol ledesbo, it's still going to be usher to use, and we're choshish for cooking. But a klisheni ava gav yatzol ledesbo mutter she'in daf nosav chamin v'holechu miskar. Since the walls of the kli of a klisheni are cold, it's already in the process of cooling down. Now, I think what Tosfos is saying is that, right, wait a second. If you have a kli rishon and you turn off the fire, right, according to Arya's logic, I turn off the fire under this pot of boiling water, and then I put in the rice. That's a kli rishon. I'm chayiv, says, right? Or it's aser, definitely. So why is there going to be bishul, But if I pour the water into a second pot, then there's no bishul, right? So Tosel says the answer is that because when it comes to the Kli Rishon, the walls of the pot keep it hot. So you could cook in it, I think. It's not in the process of cooling down. It's actually, right, it's very hot. It's the pot itself is hot. And therefore, it retains its heat. I think what he's trying to say is, oh, one second, is essentially, it's like a type of shinui when you put it in a kli sheni. The process of cooking is where you have an active heat source, right? Or you have something that was heated up and you have heat and you're applying heat to the, right, to the food. So when you're in a kli rishon, the kli itself is still contributing heat, right? And retaining its heat. Once you start cooling down, you're no longer cooking, right? You're already in the process of it cooling down. And then I guess like similar to what the Rashba was saying, except for different reasoning, you're no longer in the process of cooking. You're in the process of warming it down, right? Evening out the heat if you put it in, but you're not cooking because you don't have a heat source, essentially. Right? That's the way I would understand Tosos. Right? The way of cooking is that you have heat and you are putting heat into the system. And here, it's already started cooling down. So you don't have, right? You're not proactively adding heat into the system anymore. Or you don't necessarily have a source of heat that you can use. Now, I think this is very much similar to what we were talking about by Derech Breira, right? In Derech Breira Lakach, if you like reverse the order, right? So you're taking the food out instead of getting rid of the bad stuff. So in Derech Breira Bekach, because the way in which you do Breira is you are trying to get rid of the bad stuff. And here you do, at the end of the day, you get the end result of not having the bad stuff by taking the good. But that's not Breira, that's just taking the food, right? So I would think Tosos would say also that Bishul is a process by which you, right, you introduce something to heat so that it will be heated up. And here, once you put it into the klisheni and it's already cooling down, right, you no longer have like a, oh, you have a fire and you go to it and go to the heat and you've started introducing heat to it. But it's already in the process of cooling down. Right? Yeah, Tali.
So what I was wondering about when I was looking over this is that even if you have a situation where like you're not active, you don't have it like on the heat source or whatever, but at the end of the day, like you still have heat being added to your food, and so it is being cooked. So I was kind of wondering like why that's not still problematic, because you think about like what's happening with bishul, like that's still like what's occurring. And I know that there's like koach kochul that like they talked about in the later sources, so it's kind of out of area, but just like if you think about like objectively, like without any of the actions, but like what's happening to the food itself, it's still being transformed. Like you wouldn't eat your like hot cocoa powder, but you would eat it like when it's all mixed together because of the heat that you have from your kli sheni. So does that question make sense?
Yes, absolutely. I was like kind of trying to head that off with the Derech Bishul point, Derech Breira point. Absolutely, that makes perfect sense. You're saying at the end of the day, it hasn't really changed the totsah, right? Especially if you're dealing with something that like cocoa powder. Cocoa powder is good, as an extra good question, because maybe that's actually a little bit too good of a question, because there might be Kali Abishal, and Kali Abishal might sort of like throw a wrench into this whole situation, right? And actually, I'll just deal with it right now. What I'm arguing, essentially according to Tosos, is that you're totally right. Your question is absolutely on the ball. The totsah is still the same. I think what Tosos is saying is you're right that the totsah is the same, but you're only chayiv on the totsah. The problem isn't necessarily the totsah. You have to do the malacha. So here, you're not doing the maisa of malacha. What's the maisa malacha of bishul? It's right putting the food right into a cooking situation, which is right putting it on the stove, putting it in the heat. And here, right, by having it something that's already in the process of cooling down, you're not heating anything up. It's all cooling down already. I would say, actually, maybe to sharpen the formulation of Tosos, the process of bishul is to heat things up, right? So when we go back, let's say, to the right to our chart over here, right? If it's improving food through heat, you're not in the process of improving food through heat, because you're not increasing heat. You're not applying heat anymore. The whole system is in the process of cooling down, right? If it's about making food more edible through applying heat, You're not applying heat. So the totsah of improving food is happening. The making food more edible is happening. The creating food is happening. Even the bishul as a chemical process might be happening. Although again, right? And actually, you know, very arguably, you can argue, let's say, if you had a piece of bread, it wouldn't cook well. So the bishul as a chemical process, it's a lot easier to say, oh, that actually might not be happening in a klisheni, right? As Ari was pointing out, let's say, by the rice. But even if you say all these things are happening as a totsah, they all need to be done through the application of heat, right? By introducing heat to get these totsah. But according to Tosos, you're not doing that. You're just in the process of it cooling down, right? So while the Ritva was saying you never get to these results because it just ends up, it cools it down, but it doesn't really go all the way. Tosos is saying you might go all the way, but since it's already in the process of cooling down, then you're not introducing heat in order to create these results, right? So for Tosos, he's shifting the emphasis from the totsah, from the result, to the action that you're doing in order to achieve that. Okay, like a more extreme, and this is like very, this sort of like cheats in a certain sense. This like totally is cheating, but it's great because it really makes a ton of sense. The Yerushalmi says, like, you guys got it all wrong, right? You think it's about, oh, introducing heat in order to cook food. Says the Yerushalmi, I call modim b'klisheni shu mutter, mabin klirishon mabin klisheni, and Rav Yossi kan hayad sholetes, v'kan in hayad sholetes. So Rav Yossi says, oh, because a klirishon is yad sholetes bo, and a klisheni is not yad sholetes bo. And Rav Yona kan v'kan in hayad sholetes. Both of them are yad sholetes bo, both of them are boiling hot, right? It's not a mitzias difference that, oh, it happens to be, we're dealing with a klisheni that's not yad sholetes. Elu asu harchaka l'kli rishon, v'lo asu harchaka l'kli sheni. He says Rav Yonah, there's a iser derabanan to put food into a kli rishon that's not on the fire anymore, and there's no iser derabanan to put food into a kli sheni that's yad soledes, but that's not because it's not on the fire. Why? Right? Because the kli rishon was once on the fire. Bishul is only when it's on a fire. And now that it's not on a fire, there's no bishul midoraisa. There's an issur derabanan to cook in a kli rishon shelo agabe ha'esh when it's not on the fire anymore. Right? Says just the Ramban just says it more explicitly. The Yerushalmi always is like very, speaks in very, very cryptic statements. Right? According to the Yerushalmi, if there's no fire on under the pot, then there's no bishul, according to the Yerushalmi midaraisa. Midrabanan is asur even if the fire went out, or if you turned off the fire, or you moved it off the fire, right? So a pot that was on the fire is asur, gzira, according to the Yerushalmi, gzira atu, cooking on the fire, mamash, and the klisheni was never on the fire, so there's just no gzira, right? Now this brings us back to last year, where we were saying, oh, right, bishul in a kli, in bechama is mutter. Why? So the Yerushalmi says, because the only iser is to cook with fire mamish, right? Even cooking with tolda of the fire, of achama, according to the Yerushalmi, is only asur midrabanan. At least that's what's seen, right, from here. So according to the Yerushalmi, it sounds like, basically, that if there's no fire under it, there's just no bishul. So it sounds like, you know, it's even more fundamental. What is bishul? I'm not sure if he's saying it because of the act of that bishul by definition is cooking with a fire, which is why bishul b'chama is pater, even though it gets you the same action almost and it gets you the same result, right? Because you're adding heat and it gets the same result, but since the heat source is the sun, it's pater. So Yerushalmi says, yeah, the isra malacha is to use fire, right? And, if you saw the Jungle Book, then you understand, like, you know, how chashav fire is to keep man's mastery over the world. So, yeah, right? If you cook with the sun, it's not like the Zel Bazach of, like, human dominance over nature and human creativity. But, like, you know, using man's red fire is my mission, so I can be like you. Yubi-dubi-doo. It's really transformative. So it's only chayiv if you're actually using fire. Midrabanan, it's also in a kli rishon. Okay, now that obviously is like a huge, huge leap Then obviously klisheni is obvious because it's there's no fire going on, right? Now the Bavli clearly seems to think that toldas hachama, toldas ha'ish is fire, is asur, right? Midoraisa. So why isn't the water in the klisheni considered to be toldas ha'ish? So the Or Sameach actually says, oh, according to the Yerushalmi, right, it's all because there's no fire going on under it. And the act of Bishul is to cook in a fire, right? If there's no fire present, then it's just not Bishul. The Bavli seems to think, told us ha'esh is just like ish. So if I heat up water, like a piece of metal in the fire and use it to cook, that also is Bishul, right? So why not the water? So he says, the cooking, like we said by grandma, lo shamanu she's chayiv. Right, so kivan shekein near the afal gav the tolda rishona haba min ha'ish chayiv im mevashel. Yikomakom tolda shel tolda kimo davar shenischami b'mayim shehuchmu min ha'ish kigon barzel sheba b'kderas chamin v'nischamim su itzali babitza pater davi tolda de tolda. So an amayim shel kli rishon ha'chokhmah ba'or hevi chom shelhem toldas ha'ish acharei zeh mitchamim mitocham ha'kedera ha'kli sheni v'chom ha'kli sheni hevi toldas tolda de'ish. He says very simply, it's the idea of tolda de tolda. If you have, in a chanami, we hold that really you're only chayiv if you cook in fire. The Bavli says that if you have tolda of fire, then that also counts as fire, right? Because heated up by the fire. So, right, you can say, oh, this was heated up by the fire. So it's as if I'm really using the fire. But if I use something that was heated up by something that was heated up by a fire, right, it was no longer heated up by the fire anymore. I'm not cooking with the heat of the fire. I'm cooking with the heat of the object that was heated up by the fire, right? Once it gets, I guess I would say that once it becomes subsumed into a new object, then transferring it is the heat of the molecules of the metal, not the heat of the fire, right? Now, when I do the act, and here's the question, right? I take an egg and I cook it on this metal pan that I heated up in the fire, right? That's a tolda. Why do I consider the heat to be the heat of the fire? I think the answer is because, right, the molecules of the, the metal pan are excited by the heat of the fire, right? And when I put the egg on it, right, I'm not putting the egg, right, again, it's not getting cooked, like, by the pan, right? It's when I'm putting it in contact with the heat that came from the fire, right? The act of Bishul, so when the egg itself, let's say, would be tolda de tolda, right? But the egg is being cooked by the frying pan, which was excited, whose molecules were excited by the fire. If I were to take this metal frying pan and instead of cooking an egg on it, I were to stick it in a pot of water, right, and cook that water and then cook an egg in that water. So where did the heat of the water come from? What excited the molecules of the water, right? The excited molecules of the metal frying pan, right? In which case, now you're right that those were excited in the first place by the fire. But the actual motion, right, heat was in the frying pan, not in the fire. So the heat really came from the object of the frying pan, not from the fire. So it says the Or Zeruah, Or Sameach, it just takes on like a different identity already, right? At some point, right, once it's totally existed independently in a different object, it's the heat that came from that object and no longer the heat from the fire. Right? It's like an idea. You have a hefsek in the middle. You have some sort of break between it and the fire. So I can't say, oh, this is the heat of the fire. Okay? That's his idea. So let's say the Yerushalmi says you have to actually put it in the fire. The Bavli says, oh, if I heat a frying pan in the fire and then I take it out, right, it's still considered the heat of the fire. Because, right, the heat of the fire is just now present in the frying pan. But once I then transfer the heat into a third object, that'll be told to tolda. What's the problem with this? So he says the same thing applies to a klisheni. I have water that I heated up on the fire. This is the fire. It goes into the, right, the heat goes into the kli rishon. And now I pour it into the kli sheni, and now it's, now that's tolda de tolda. What's the logical problem, though? or like sort of undermines the argument that it's tolda to tolda here.
Well, what I didn't understand is how the frying pan can be considered a tolda. It's just the way you cook foods.
No, you heat it. I just use a frying pan, but you didn't actually put the food on the frying pan yet, right? You took the frying pan, you took a piece of metal, and you stuck it in a fire. Now it's hot. Then you take it out of the fire, and you use it to heat something up, not in the fire. So that piece of metal is tolda de'ish. It was heated by the fire, and now, independent of the fire, right, you turned off the fire, and now you put something in it. So it was heated by the fire, now you're using it to cook something else. Without the fire present. That's why it's
off the fire at that point. Okay.
Yeah. Correct. Right. Yeah. If the fire was still going on underneath it, we wouldn't consider it even tolda de'ish. It would just be ish. Right. Absolutely. Now, the problem, I think, is that where's the water? In the kli rishon. In the kli rishon. When you put the water on the kli sheni, it's still the same water that was heated up by the fire, right? Which is a little bit of a problem. The Rosh Hashanah is assuming that because I transferred the water into a kli sheni, it's as if the source of heat is the kli sheni, but it's not. It's the water in the kli, right? Now, we have seen this idea. There is such an idea that like water sort of takes on the identity of the kli that contains it. We saw there came up in the Sugya of Amir al-Nahri, right? The Rabbeinu Yonah, or the Ra'a, I think he says B'Shem Rabbeinu Yonah, that you can ask the guy to cook a huge thing of water, even though Marbe B'Shurim generally is Aser, because by water, we consider it just to be one entity. We don't say like, oh, there's like a difference in amount. Like a more water, less water doesn't actually count as more, just water, right? Just like, because the liquid is just like one entity. The liquid sort of takes on the identity of the pot. That's one way to look at it. It's a little bit difficult to Leonidas. And the other way to look at it, which I think is a little more compelling, is that water is food. It's a nitbashel, it's not a mevashel, right? It's the cookee, not the cooker. So essentially what we would be saying is that the water itself isn't what's doing the cooking, right? The water is like the bringing the heat around, but ultimately the heat is coming from the pot. You cook with the pot. Right? The water is like, you know, is food that happens to also like heat up the pot, but it takes on the identity of the second pot because it's food. Right? So it can't be considered like the cooker. Right? Can you cook food with food? Right? Like, you know, foods don't cook foods. People cook foods. Something along those lines. So it's a very fascinating idea. I do like it a lot. I think it works exceptionally well with the Yerushalmi. Right, that like, oh, once you just taken fire out of the picture, it's just not not special anymore. The idea that once you transfer a different kli, right, that sort of breaks your connection to the fire is a fascinating idea. The only problem is that to say that it's tolda de tolda is a little bit difficult because the original water that was heated on the fire itself is still here. Okay. Just one other thing is that you could say that because it was heated up in a pot, the kli rishon is really the tolda. And the water in the kli rishon is already like a tolda to tolda automatically because it was never in direct contact with the fire. Again, as Rachel was pointing out, if it's cooked on the fire in a frying pan, we wouldn't say like, oh, it's being cooked by the frying pan, right? So it's hard to make that argument. Okay, so just we have really a few. Tosa says, oh, what's really special about kli sheni? So it says it's about the fact that the walls of the kli are cooled down, right? So we can say, oh, right, why? Because it in reality, it doesn't cook properly is one way to understand that. The other way to say it's a shinui. This is not how cooking is done. It's not derech bishul, right? You're not doing the action of bishul, even though you get the totsah. Or we can say legally, there's an important difference, which is either there's a disconnect from the fire, or there's just no formal heat source, right? Which is, more like, right, you don't have the defanos that are actively heating it up, so the walls of the kli aren't there to cook it, and the water itself is food, so it doesn't count as a cooker. The disconnect from the fire, the Rosh Hashanah's idea, that it's a tolda de tolda, and the Yerushalmi just says, if it's not on the fire, then legally there's no bishul. Bishul is, by definition, cooking on the fire. Sort of like you might say that borer, by definition, is separating using a kli, or merake is separating using the kli, right? So if you, or let's say zore, right, has to involve wind. So if you don't blow, if you separate it some other way, then it might just not be zore. Right, so Yerushalmi says cooking is with a fire by definition. On the other hand, right, Tosos might be saying that it's not that it's legally not possibly bishul because, right, there's no fire, there's no heat source, it's not on the fire, but because the way of cooking is that you're adding heat into the system. And here, once you already have defanos makairos, you're no longer adding in heat to the system, or just reality, right? The Rajba and the Ritva said, like, oh, it just imahem koach to cook, right? It's not going to cook the rice. Now, one thing that's very interesting is like, okay, if you want to take the reality department or the shinui department, then maybe there could be cases which it doesn't count as a shinui, or it does cook, right? Let's say we're dealing with Tali's case. Let's say we're dealing with like cocoa powder, right? Let's say we're saying, oh, let's say we're dealing with instant soup. So Arya was also saying, oh, like we're spoiled today. But Bismaninu, let's say we're dealing with something that really would cook very quickly. So the, like, is there something that this is normal to do, or something that really does cook? Now those are different again, right? Just like, remember when it came to Borer, Tosel said that normally the Derech Brera is to take out the psoles and leave the food. But if there's so much food that it would be difficult to remove the food, and it would be, if there's so much psoles, it would be easier to remove the food, then Derech Brera would be dafka to remove the food, because that would be easier, right? So even though it's a shinui, it doesn't mean it can never be a normal way of cooking, right? Let's say there are specific items where it's normal to cook this way, right? Or it'd be reasonable to cook this way. Or let's say there are things that in reality, right, actually cook, like instant soup. So the Rambam says, Hashem in Mishir the Uka, Avagav Shigyar, Nota Mena Uka, Kao Mena, blah, 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 right? Af Mishu Cham, Nibnesha Inu Mesvashal Beklishini, Nimhaya Cham Biyoser Kadeshi Yich Vesayad, Lo Yikin Litocho Mipnesha Hu Mitbashel. Okay? So this is in Hilchos Meiser. So the Rambam says that if a kli, that there could be a kli sheni that's so hot that it'll cook. And for maestro's purposes, would be mechayiv you to be mafresh chumus maestro's. Because once you cook something, you can't consider it to be achilas arai. There's a rule by chumus maestro's that by achilas arai, by sort of casually nibbling while you're preparing the food or before the food has been fully processed, you're not chayiv in chumus maestro's yet. So Rambam says, once you cook it, if it's so hot that the kli sheni that it's cooking, that it's yatzol edispo, then you can't do achilas arai. You can't nibble on it anymore, and you're chayav to take chumus umaestros. So says the Radvaz, wait a second, but don't we don't hold that way by Shabbos? So the Radvaz says, odi yishal taris, the afagav de ba'alma bishol kli sheni lo chashiv bishol le'inyam kviyas meiser, hukva, le'inyam kviyas meiser hukva, kivan sha'al yidei bishol machshiro l'achila nigmram nalachto. Says the Radvaz, normally, kli sheni is not mevashel in a formal sense, right? That's not the act of cooking. But it says, right, Tali, but the totsa is the same. So he says, oh, when it comes to Shabbos, we care about the ma'aseh, we care about the act of cooking. You're not allowed to cook. Things getting cooked is not a problem, right? However, when it comes to chumus u'maestros, what do we care about? We care about, have you gotten gemar malach? Have you completed the processing of the food? And here, you've completed the processing of the food, mimela. Since you're machshir lachila, you're going to be chayiv in chumus u'maestros, even though halachically you never actually cooked it, right? So he says, by chumus u'maestros, we care about the totsa, we care about the effect. When it comes to Shabbos, we care about the action. The Rikurka says, draws the opposite conclusion. He says, no. He says, my dinaka masnisin chalach ben kli rishon le kli sheni, mishum distam kli rishon yatzol edespo, distam kli sheni yatzol edespo. Vinireh, that what? That kli sheni shu cham bi mu'otar latei kletocho ad she yitbarer lan sha yatzol edespo. V'stam kli rishon kishulcham asarachi is bar lan sheni yatzol ledes. The Rikurka says no. Oh, sorry. Let's skip ahead. The Rikurka says no. The Radvaz is wrong. In a chanami, there's bishul by a kli sheni. But what's the special about a kli sheni? Your average kli rishon is probably yatzol ledes bo. So in order to use a kli rishon, you need to prove to me, you need to actually go and test and see if it's yatzol ledes bo. In order to use a klisheni, your average klisheni is not yatzel etes bo. You're allowed to assume that it's not yatzel etes bo unless you know otherwise. Okay? So what? It's sort of like, in general, in halacha, we say that you're allowed to make certain assumptions, right? You're allowed to sort of live normally under the assumptions that, like, the world is, you know, working normally. You don't, unless it's like a, if it's like a mia che'eno matzui, you don't have to check all the time. It's a good, big question by bugs in, like, food. We all know that food sometimes has bugs. We also know that, like, not all food has bugs. How often does, this, like, lettuce have to have bugs in order for you to be chayef to check? Now, we know if you eat lettuce your whole life and never check, we know at some point you're going to need a bug, right? There are occasionally going to be bugs in lettuce, right? But the halacha says that as long as it's infrequent enough, you just don't have to check. You're just not obligated to check, right? Because halacha says, like, you only have to function in a certain way. So says the Rikurkas, that's exactly what we're doing here, right? You're only chayiv to check to see if it's the atzel lettuce bow when it's in a kli rishon. In a klisheni, you're allowed to assume that it's not yatzel etes bo, unless you prove otherwise. Now, you'd think that's pretty obvious, right? That's like pretty pashut. Bizmanenu, it actually is a hugely helpful. Why? Because Bizmanenu, we have a huge machlokas about what counts as yatzel etes bo, right? The machmir shita, the shita of when you're allowed to say vaday yatzel etes bo in order to say like ein bishul achar bishul, is way higher than like the minimum shita of like how high it might be in order for us to be choshesh that maybe it's yatzel etes bo. Okay? It's like a huge difference. It's just like ridiculous. It's like, I don't know, it's something like 70 or like 113 or something degrees Fahrenheit. It's like it's a very big pad. Maybe it's like 130 and like 76. Something crazy.
Because it has to be even 160.
Or 160, yeah. I have to check it up. It's crazy. It's like the disparity is like, maybe it's 96 to 160. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's like 96 is like the low end and like 160. So, right? You can stick your finger in things that some people consider yatzel etes bo and like mix it with your finger. And other things, right? You'd literally burn your finger off and get a third degree burn. So, according to the Rikurkas, as long as you're not getting a third degree burn, by a klisheni, you're allowed to be mekel. And by a kli rishon, you'd have to be machmir, right? So it is very helpful. But ultimately, he's saying, there's no rule that klisheni ain't a mevashel. It's a rule of thumb that halacha says you're allowed to assume that the klisheni is not yatzel etes bo. But there's nothing special about it being a klisheni, right? Now that's totally extreme. That's way more extreme than the Rajma and the Ritva. Because he's not saying that, it's only mafshir. He's saying, b'metzias, it's probably not yatzel etes bo. While the Ritva is saying, it might physically cook, but halachically it doesn't for Shabbos reasons, purposes. Okay. Now, another shita, the Chachmas Adam says, let's say it's not yatzel etes bo. Let's say it's a klisheni that it's hayad nichves bo. It's scalding hot. It's literally 99 degrees centigrade. Okay? Afil be klisheni mevasha. He says, yeah, look, if you're in a klisheni, so if it's only yatzel etes bo, since the wall's already cool, v'chule, it's not mevasha. But if it's broiling hot, if it's literally 99 degrees Celsius, then it's mevashel, even a klisheni. Okay, so he has kli rishon, yad sol etes bo is mevashel. Klisheni is only mevashel if it's yad nichves bo, if it's broiling hot. Okay, so the Rajba and the Ritva say, in general, it's mafshir v'eino mevashel. And the other option is that, no, it really is mevashel b'mitzias. It's not mevashel b'mitzias, but that depends on the heat. So actually, yeah, sometimes it cooks, sometimes it doesn't. You just got to check the heat, right? So the Mary Korkas says, yeah, you actually got to check. Or you don't have to check, but if it was yatzel etes bo, it would be a problem. Chayam says, it's a special thing. If it's scalding hot, then klisheni will still cook. What's the nafkamina? Let's say you had a massive bathtub filled with boiling water, okay? So according to that, even the Rajba would say, afo pishu klisheni, hacha shayni l'fisha darkan l'chaman yosu midai. If the Rajba says, if you have it super duper scalding hot, okay, and it's a big bathtub. So you have like a big bathtub filled with scalding hot water. So if you put some rice into there, yeah, it would actually cook, right? So the Rajba says, if you have it on bhakti, if you had a bathtub of scalding water, that would actually be mevashel. So he doesn't agree with let's say the Chayadam or the Marie Kurkes, right? That Yad Soledes or Yad Nichves Bo. But he says if it's Yad Nichves Bo and it's really big, right? So it has just a tremendous amount of energy in there, then it would be a problem. Okay? So each one of these Shittos is actually Modeh that there's an exception to the rule, right? The Rajba says, oh, it's if it's a bathtub full of scalding water. Chayadam says, as long as it's scalding. And Marie Kurkes says, actually, even if it's just Yad Soledes Bo, as long as you actually knew that it was Yad Soledes Bo, it would be a problem. Because at the end of the day, it's a metzias, right? It's a reality. If it's cooked, it's cooked. If it doesn't cook, it doesn't cook. There are rules of thumb that you can rely on for what's going to count as cooking. But ultimately, we really care about whether or not it's cooking. We care about the totsa. Okay. So then basically we have, just this very large chart, which we're going to kind of skim through again. Very quickly, is that it could be a legal thing, right? It could be, it's not on the fire like Yushalmi, there's no formal heat source, there's no defanos mechamimos, it's disconnected, it's a tolda de tolda, like Dor Sameach, or you could say it's like a shinoi, right? This is not how cooking's done, which is Tosfos' idea, or that the reality that practically it's just not cooking. Okay, another nafmina, the Urayim says, in bishul talui lo bikli rishon, velo bikli sheni, right, says the Sefer Yoreim, actually, rice in a Kli Rishon doesn't cook. And Arya is right. It's just not, it's not going to be bishul. And instant cocoa mix cooks even a Kli Sheni. So Tali's right. An instant hot cocoa mix is going to be bishul even a Kli Sheni. And some things, right? Let's say instant soup mix, because I need an example, right? Instant soup mix with real pieces of, with real noodles, right? Is going to cook in a Kli Rishon, but not in a Kli Sheni. So that'll be bishul in a Kli Rishon, but not in a Kli Sheni. Okay? So he basically says it just depends. It ultimately totally depends on the situation, right? It's totally about the result. It's totally about the effect that it has on the food. And it just depends on what food you're dealing with. Okay, so the nafkamina we just gave a minute ago, right, about Ambati and Yad Nechvospo is about the heat of the water. The Urayim is saying it's not about the water, it's about the food. It depends on what type of food you're dealing with. Some foods cook easily, some foods don't, right? Now what he's doing is making it very subjective. It totally depends on the type of food. Okay, now just one last way to sort of like bring it all together is, right, when we talked about is Bishul based on Bishul or based on Afia? Right? Right? Is it the cooking of the dyes in the creation of the Mishkan, or is it baking lechem apanim, or is it the sidur at the pass? I think that ties in nicely to what we, our different ideas. Why? Let's say you're cooking hot cocoa. What are you really trying to do? You're not trying to cook it. You're not trying to do any chemical process to the cocoa, right? You're using the heat to extract the flavor, right? To soften it and extract the flavor ultimately, right? Now, if you're doing that, right, and that's kind of what you do in general by Bishul, right? In Bishul, you're not so much trying to cause chemical reactions as much as, right, soften things, extract flavors from things. But ultimately, it's about using the heat to extract and not necessarily to transform. Now, let's say coffee, right? You cook coffee, you brew coffee, but ultimately, right, you can cold brew coffee. Cold water will also extract. It just takes a lot longer, right? So is there going to be Bishul there, right? Or is it going to be the Malacha of Bishul? So if you see the Ikar Malacha as Bishul, which is cooking dyes, so I would argue yes, right? It's about extraction. It's about the useful improving the food through heat. So you improve the food, or you made it more edible, or you made it easier to eat, or right, you do use the heat in order to get some very useful result. If you think it's about Ofe, it's a lot easier to understand why it is we say, oh, Kli Sheni and Mavashel. Right? Because in a Kli Sheni, can you do extraction? Right? For all of us who have made coffee in a Kli Sheni, of course, it extracts very nicely in a Kli Sheni. Right? If you wanted to bake bread, right? If you wanted to really cook, right? If you wanted to do something that would, right? You put a bunch of different ingredients in and it's going to come out as a totally new entity, you need it to be on the fire. Generally, you actually need dry heat, right? So actually, the fact that there's water involved would ruin, let's say, if you're baking baking bread. So if it's about the baking lechem apanim in the menachos, so then you could argue, oh, well, just not, that's not how Bishul is done. Ofe is done, right? It has to have direct heat. And if it's about Sidur de Paz, it's about this very, right, you know, human-centric creation and industrial process of really transforming something, then I would say, well, you know, klisheni is not that, right? Klisheni is making use of the fact that something is hot. But you're not, like, really doing bishul. You're not taking something and adding heat to it and transforming it using the fire that you made. The water's hot. You put the food in and it makes it softer. It extracts some of the juice. But it's just not so transformative, right? So the more that we talk about bishul, the more we can see it as more of extraction. The more it's about ofe, the more it's about the maleches machsheves, the more I might require it to have real direct use of the fire, real transformation of the object and not just making it soft. Kali abishol, right? If it's about shinui, let's go back to this, to over here. Let's say kali abishol, if it's about the legality of it, that there's no fire, there's no heat source, right? Or there's no direct, there's only a tolda to tolda, kali abishol isn't going to be chayiv, right? Because at the end of the day, there's still no fire, right? There's no heat. It doesn't matter what food you're dealing with. If it's about reality, then kali abishol should definitely matter, right? If it's about shinui, then maybe by kali abishol, let's say things that it's normal to cook in a klisheni, let's say tea, right? You put a tea bag into a klisheni, that's totally normal. Maybe that's going to be chayiv, right? Now, what's interesting though is that if I think that bishol is really based on afia because of sidur de pas, because of right afia of the lechem apanim, then even in the reality column, right, maybe the Rajba's right. How can you say that let's say it's not so clear according to the Rajba that there's something called Kali Abishal? But if it's about reality, how could you say that there's no Kali Abishal, right? If it's about reality, shouldn't the Urayim be so obvious? Right? If I take a tea bag and I put it into a cup of hot water, it cooks, right? Just as well as if I did it on a Kli Rishon. So why is it not so pasha that according to the Rajba, who thinks it's about reality and practically with the Metzias, why is it not obvious that there should be a din of Kali Abishol? Right? But if I say that Bishol, right, as extraction, isn't Bishol. Really it's a fia. Really it's, right, Sidura de Pas. So then it's not cooking, right? Maybe doing a teabag on the fire might not be cooking. The Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, says he's not sure if like cooking a teabag in a Kli Rishon would be bishul, because ultimately you're just extracting the flavor from it. You don't eat the tea leaves. You're not cooking the tea leaves. You're not making the tea leaves into food, right? So ultimately, if it's just extraction, maybe that's not part of the malacha of ofa at all, right? And if you think it's about reality, then it's just hefsher. You're warming it up, right? Okay, but maybe warming it up just isn't bishul. Okay, so the Rajba might go to the direction of saying it's about reality, but the reality he's talking about might not just be about, oh, whether it got hot or whether it got soft, but whether it got cooked. And extraction might not cut it. Yeah, all right.
We could also say there's different types of extraction, right? So for coffee, cold brew versus hot brewing coffee is going to extract different flavors. It's just going to be it's a totally different chemical process. And if your barometer is extraction, then cold brewing coffee, cold brewing tea versus hot brewing coffee, hot brewing tea would be the same. But maybe we can make a chiluk between different kinds of extraction and that a hotter water extraction is actually fundamentally different than even a klisheni extraction.
Correct. No, absolutely. Absolutely. You can definitely say that that counts. Also, especially if you think that bishul, right? If bishul is about extraction, exactly. If bishul is about extraction, so then I care about how you did the extraction more, right? If I think bishul, the malacha is really afia, then I can say, oh, if this extraction, let's say chicken soup, right? So, I don't know, chicken soup, like a lot, you getting out the carrot flavor using the heat, right? But you couldn't make a chicken soup without boiling the water, right? Just wouldn't be a chicken soup. It would be wet carrots and chicken carcass in like a pot, which would be gross, right? So you could say, when it comes to chicken soup, even though the real malacha is ofe, is afia, but cooking a chicken soup, that's an extraction that really matters, right? That's transformative. But you couldn't do that with cold water. But if you think, what about extracting coffee? So you say, well, I, it could do with cold water too, maybe that's not a significant enough extraction to count as ofeh, right? If you see the malacha as being about bishul, so then the whole malacha, as you're saying, is about extraction. So of course I'm going to care about different types of extraction because the whole malacha is about extraction. So I can have, right, extraction of flavor by baking it, and I can have extraction of flavor by cold brewing it, which would be, let's say, no heat involved, so it's mutter, and then using heat to extract would obviously be aser, because the whole point is extraction through heat. If the whole point is baking, and then cooking is like a subcategory, is a tolda, right? I think we saw the Ushami said that bishul is a tolda of ofeh. Not like a copy paste, but it's actually a tolda, so then maybe, right, maybe we could say, oh, well, if bishul is really just a tolda, so maybe it needs to be really transformative in order to count. Okay, shakach. Thank you so much for an amazing year. And it's really just been a